Welcome to Clue, the Coronavirus Legal Update, a podcast by the Miller Law Firm, bringing you the latest legal information related to the coronavirus and how it can impact you, your small business, or your large business in South Carolina. I'm your host, Attorney Melissa Miller, and today, attorneys for the Miller Law Firm discuss Governor Henry McMaster's latest executive order. Without further ado, let's sit down with attorneys for the Miller Law Firm to discuss our next clue. David, I want to jump right into the particulars, and we will publish the actual order online, and our listeners can follow along so that our listeners can follow along. But David, I'm looking specifically at Section 1, Home or Work Order. And I'm looking under Section 1, Part B. It says, for the purposes of engaging in essential business activities, here's the thing that immediately jumps to mind to me as an attorney looking at this executive order. It talks about essential business, but as with the other executive orders, it doesn't define what an essential business is. It defines what a non-essential business is. Is that your reading as well?
Exactly. I mean, they seem to go through great lengths in not only this order as well as executive orders 2020-17 from March 31st and 2020-18 from April 3rd to list out what is not essential, but it seems as though they forgotten to define what is essential.
And this is actually somewhat a good news for small businesses, or most small businesses. The way that this executive order reads, folks, is that if you're not on the list of non-essential businesses, that you can continue to operate. David, tell me if that's your reading as well. But and there are many. We should point out that there are many things defined as a non-essential business within the latest executive order. And the provisions in prior executive orders regulating those businesses will continue to apply. So nightclubs, bowling alleys, arcades, concert venues, theaters, tourist attractions, racetracks, indoor children's play areas, except for licensed childcare facilities, most of which I believe are, a lot of which are already shut down, adult entertainment venues, bingo halls, venues operated by social clubs, those businesses cannot operate. Golf courses can, though, right?
Well, that's my understanding. I don't know. It's not specifically limited. It does say under D number 2, sports that involve interaction in close proximity to and within less than 6 feet of another person, under recreational athletic facilities and activities that are seen as non-essential. You know, as an avid golfer myself, that's kind of good that golf isn't specifically listed. But it seems like if a golf club wanted to, they could find a way to make it to where they would comply with this order.
It's still essential for you, right, David? But golf courses are not on the list. So all you avid golfers, it looks to be that you can continue to play. And you know, at least theoretically, the reasoning behind that is you are maintaining 6 feet of distance. Everybody's using their own equipment. We should also mention the recreational and athletic facilities and activities that are still restricted and considered non-essential. Those are listed out in the latest executive order and will continue to remain under those prior executive orders, non-operational, essentially. Fitness and exercise centers and commercial gyms, spas and public or commercial swimming pools, group exercise facilities, including yoga, barre, and spin studios or facilities, spectator sports that involve interaction in close proximity to and within less than 6 feet of another person, activities that require the use of shared sporting apparatus and equipment, as we mentioned previously, and then activities on commercial or public playground equipment. Those remain closed. The other close contact businesses are barbershops, hair salons, waxing salons, threading salons, nail salons and spas, body art facilities and tattoo services, tanning salons, massage therapy establishments, and massage services. Notably missing from this list, David, and I want to highlight this for the listeners, is chiropractic services. Is that your reading as well?
Yeah, that's my reading as well, that, you know, or acupuncturists are also not on there.
And that would seem to be close contact, but it is not specifically mentioned.
Yeah, it surprised me to not see those on there, but I think because chiropractors, possibly one of the reasons could be because chiropractors are seen as, you can get a sort of medical treatment at chiropractors, maybe that's why they're exempt. But as far as my reading of this order, yeah, it seems like chiropractors would be exempt from this.
And certainly to the extent that chiropractors are providing online services, online advice, in-office advice that's not inviting that close contact, they're still allowed to operate, or at least that's the way the latest order reads.
Right. And, I think it would also probably be pursuant to them using the guidance of the CDC or DHEC as far as social distancing and proper sanitation goes. I would assume that they'd be able to continue to operate.
So that's what we can say to chiropractic businesses or businesses that are not on this list. You should continue to follow the guidelines of the CDC and all of the other guidance that we've seen from South Carolina DHEC. Any business needs to continue to observe. But the non-essential businesses are listed on here. Essential businesses, again, they're not defined. It just defines what counts as non-essential and what is required to not operate during the pandemic. And that, folks, is Section D, Provisions 1 through 4 in the order. And again, we'll post this to our website, www.themillerlawfirmpa.com, so that you can look at it and follow along. For purposes of this order, essential activities, it does define essential activities and what those include. And I just want to highlight one of those. It seems like a catch-all provision, David. And I don't know if this is the way you read it, but I certainly see room in there for this. The third provision in that section that defines essential activities, that is, if it's an essential activity, you can continue to do it. Under E3, it says, engaging in activities essential for health and safety of family or household members. And I highlight that because I would take that to mean, and then it goes on to define, activities such as seeking medical, behavioral health, or emergency services. But that could potentially be interpreted broadly, health and safety of family members, health, the economic health of a household. If a chiropractor is on his way to work, or as a better example, if one of these workers who's listed as a non-essential worker or a non-essential business, is that a catch-all? They're engaging in activities essential for health and safety of family or household members.
Well, I think it could be interpreted that way. It is very broad, but it also, it also seems fairly tailored to the health of the family or household members. But it doesn't. There's some gray area in there, so you can make the argument for it.
Certainly, to maintain safety and to make sure you're within the provisions of this new order, it would seem prudent that, you give it a narrow interpretation, at least with respect to this provision. It does lay out that essential activities for the health and safety of family members, and then by listing examples such as seeking medical, behavioral health, or emergency, it seems to be honing in on health and emergency issues. That would seem to be the safest interpretation of it. But certainly right, it's not well defined.
But to your point, I mean, those do seem to be examples and not a bright line. Those three things are the only three things that are essential activities for health and safety of family or household members. So I think there is room to say it could be to go to work to provide for your family.
And moving on down that same section, David, religious activities are specifically mentioned as essential. So there's no prohibition on attending church. You still want to make sure that you're abiding by the social distancing restrictions, and that is included in here as well. But even if it's an essential activity, right, you've got to abide by the social distancing restrictions, maintain 6 feet of separation from any person, any other person. But you're not prohibited from attending a religious service so long as you're abiding by those restrictions. Is that correct? Is that correct, your reading as well, your interpretation?
Yeah, that's my reading as well. It kind of strikes me as odd, simply because it'd be, in my mind at least, difficult to ensure the appropriate social distancing, 6 feet of separation. But it is in there as an essential activity, and so it's, you know, Easter's coming up, so you don't have to stay away from the church on Easter Sunday.
Right. Right. I want to highlight a specific provision within that definition of essential activities as it relates to family law, David, and that's under E7. Something that is considered essential is traveling as required by law, to include attending any court proceedings and transporting children as required by court order or custody agreement. So what that means, folks, is that if there is a custody agreement in place, that you're not prohibited from traveling in order to abide by that court order. So my best interpretation of that is, you know, if you are under a court order, you comply with the terms of the order. And we had done a previous podcast on this. There's a previous article, Custody in the Time of Corona, which David wrote, and that is on our website at www.themillerlawfirmpa.com. And that outlines best practices and best advice in terms of what to do during the pandemic if there is a visitation or custody order in place. Any thoughts on that, David?
No, you know, I just think use your best judgment. If you can, try to work something out with your child's other parent, and just try to be as responsible as possible. And remember that the health and safety of your children is of paramount importance. And you know, you might be required to, by court order, you have a custody agreement to exchange the children, but just make sure it's done in a safe and healthy way.
All right, and then moving on to section F and H. Let's go through section F first, where they talk about critical infrastructure operations, what it means. That's pretty clear in my mind. Under F2, individuals performing or assisting with military, healthcare, public safety, or emergency response operations, as well as any other operations or services identified by United States cybersecurity and infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera. I highlight that provision because it can also be potentially interpreted broadly, but I think the best interpretation, since it does come under critical infrastructure operations, we're talking specifically, or it's meant to specifically include healthcare workers, nurses, doctors, public safety officials, police officers, emergency response operators. And there's a family, an order which specifically pertains to family courts and family what's considered a family law emergency. That article is on our website as well. For those of you who are curious specifically about family law, but this is not a provision which is talking about DSS or emergency family matters. This is specifically talking about professionals operating in the event of the pandemic in this emergency. Is that correct? Is that what you see as well, David, under F2?
Yeah, that's correct. That's what I see. It's just people who are helping handle the coronavirus pandemic, and whether it be in hospitals or in the military, or people trying to keep the public order.
Here's just to go through and continue to highlight some of the more interesting provisions. As you mentioned, David, and I saw it as well, retail stores, they can continue to operate. Obviously, they're limited in their operation, at least in terms of what I read in the language of the order itself. But I want to talk specifically about some things that at least according to the language of this order, small boutiques, for example, retail shops, those type of business owners can continue to do both to provide a service to individuals, but also to protect themselves during the pandemic. So under Section H, it says, subject to emergency rules and restrictions set forth below, this section does not prohibit the continued operation of retail stores as set forth above for the limited purpose of fulfilling online or telephone orders or providing alternate means, doesn't really define what alternate means is or includes, but or providing alternate means of purchasing or delivering products or services. It actually goes on to say to include curbside purchases, pickup or delivery, and home or off-site delivery. So it doesn't exactly define it, but it says what it includes. So it's not all-inclusive, but includes those ways to deliver, provided that such options or measures can be implemented. So whatever measure you're using, it has to be implemented in a manner that facilitates and maintains effective social distancing and is consistent with any applicable guidance issued by state and federal public health and safety officials. So let's talk about that one a little bit, David, because that's one of the more interesting provisions, my reading and yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was something that struck me as a little odd, considering D4 specifically states retail stores can't be open, but this gives them a little wiggle room. I think it should be really exciting, especially for smaller boutiques. You could do, you know, a curbside sale and have people drive up, or however you would like to situate that to keep those social distancing practices in place. And, you know, you can go and fulfill online orders. You can have online sales. You can call in sales. It's really, I think, a really beneficial provision for, you know, small boutiques or retailers in the state of South Carolina.
So it's conceivable a retailer could say, hey, look, come look at my online shop. If you want to come by and try on some clothes, you can make an appointment. You can't actually try them on in the store, but or at least that's what I would advise businesses. You don't want to open up your doors, right. But certainly they can. A customer can try it on right there in their car potentially, or take it home, try it on, bring it back, and you know, if it doesn't fit, return it. You know, yeah. That gets into all kinds of concerns with social distancing and just, you know, the health concerns in general, but reading this order, that's certainly not prohibited.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it seems like the only thing based on this that would be prohibited is to actually have people in your store, to open your store up to people to come in. But, you know, if you wanted to have a curbside sale, have people drive by and, you know, say, I saw this on your website, you know, I like, you know, the orange dress or whatever, what have you. Seems like you could have that set up.
Right. So just like with restaurants, you know, there are limits to how you can serve people, but you can still continue to serve individuals and make sales in order to continue to operate your business.
Right.
Those were the highlights that I saw. I'm sure there's going to be much more to come, David. You know, we're getting multiple orders a week at this point, and you know, I'm sure there's much more to come on that end. There are no changes that I see in restaurants or food services in this order.
Right.
They can continue to provide curbside and pickup, and those are really the highlights. Any other thoughts as we close out this podcast, David? Like I said, listeners, we'll have much more to come on this. We'll be monitoring the situation, and any updates, we'll be bringing them to you as we receive them. But that's the latest news. And those are my thoughts on it. David, if you have any others to close out the podcast.
The only thing is, you know, if you're out there, stay home, stay safe, and stay healthy. You know, unless you have to go out, absolutely. Do what you can to keep the social distancing going and try to flatten the curve as it is.
You have been listening to Clue, the Coronavirus Legal Update, a podcast of the Miller Law Firm PA. This has been your host, Attorney Melissa Miller. For more information on the Miller Law Firm or to contact one of our attorneys, you may visit us at our website, www.themillerlawfirmpa.com, or call us at 864-527-0413. Thank you for listening. Until our next clue.